Restart.
Rewind.
You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by queerness@anycost.com and austrian-legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the 41st episode. MC Hamster finally in the house of
In Response,
a legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
Woo! So we're finally back in our 3-week cycle. So, shall we start with the huge news? At first, I think.
We can.
I think it's a great time now to start. Mm-hmm. I know we actually had a plan for this episode, but...
Let's switch it around. I think this is a good time. I think the biggest reason is because we heard about this 20 minutes now, before we started recording, which is...
Minsk and Boo will finally be released on Magic Online.
As well as Melanie Hex, but...
Yeah, that's just a footnote. That's
a footnote. I mean, both cards haven't been on Magic Online, and a lot of people, including ourselves, I think, we don't know why. And
because they're so incredibly complicated and hard to implement. And
no, it was actually very... hamsters are very hard to program, actually.
Yeah, because they're always running around and just gnawing on the cables. And
yeah, I mean, those cards were in the drafting sets, in the commander drafting set, which... wasn't really a thing that they wanted to implement within MTGO, since they had to add a new dungeon and stuff like that. But I also don't understand why they hadn't put out every card that isn't like the dungeon crawling card.
Maybe they haven't really thought about the legacy playability of these cards in the first place. I don't know, because a lot of times legacy is not on the first.
It's not on the priority mind. For
yeah.
Them.
Yeah.
It's not even on the radar.
As it turns out, especially for Paper Magic, Minsk and Boo is a card that a lot of people are experimenting with. It turns out to be quite powerful, and I think it can be attributed to the fact that it is Pyroblast Blue proof as a threat, and it can be switched into a lot of different shells, like mostly control decks.
And something I want to address here is like a lot of guys are like, yeah, we need to ban cards and stuff like that. I think this is also a big reason that we didn't have any bannings yet or any updates, because they can't really say that the current iteration of Legacy is fine or not, because they don't have two of the new powerful cards in the format on MTGO, since Minsk and Boo is a good card against Delver and Maddening Hex against all blue decks, most likely, even though they played
definitely this
themselves.
Will be a factor and when these cards will be released to Magic Online, I think the results will actually show if they impact the format at all, or if the card maybe it's just a little bit overhyped. This can also be the case because there's not a lot of Paper Magic events to really prove that.
At least not big Paper Magic
not
events.
Not big ones, yes. I mean, there has been one which was won by the Wooded Team player, Claudio Bonanni. He played a 4-color control version with 3 copies of Minsk and Boo in the main deck, and he won it.
It was basically the Bologna 4-seasons warm-up that he played in Senigallia in Italy.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And he won this whole event with a really nice deck list. And they even decided to open a new Discord channel or server, actually, simply because of Minsk and Boo.
Minsk and Boo. Just to test it, yeah.
To test it
So you can find the Discord server on www.xhamster.com.
It's exactly the name.
But unfortunately, or fortunately for all of us, it's now released from jail. And yeah. Mm-hmm.
We will see how the meta shakes up online. I'm actually a little bit more pessimistic in this case. Although Minsky Boo is...
About our shakeup?
About a shakeup and mm-hmm. about the dominance of Delver, actually. Minsky Boo is extremely strong, but it's a 4-drop. And I think 4-drops against Delver are a little bit of a liability.
Of course, yeah. I mean,
if it sticks, you win.
Yeah.
It's... You draw 4 cards, you get token every turn if they remove it, and yeah, if it sticks, you're probably
it's definitely
winning.
not like say a silver bullet card kind of effect against Delver, as you mentioned, because 4 mana is still something that you have to keep in mind. There is Daze, is still Forcefill, and historically seen control decks would board out heavy costing cards like Chase the Mindsculptor, for example, against Delver because they're just very clunky.
Yeah.
But of course, Pyroblast is also a reason for this
boarding
kind
out
of
these,
thing.
Yeah.
And that's something true. That we have to keep in mind is also that Minsk and Boo, unfortunately, is boltable because
yeah,
it comes into play, it gets the trigger, so you can bolt in response to the ETB effect of creating the Boo. And yeah.
And guess who plays 4 copies in the main deck?
Not Delver anymore.
Not Delver, but
they will.
They will probably. No, man, Unholy Heat can, of course, also kill it. If
Unholy Heat can hit Planeswalkers?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Oh. Sure. Okay, so never mind.
In that case, it doesn't matter if it's... I mean, you have to get Delirium to deal 6 damage,
yeah.
But... Besides that, yeah, there's one reason why Unholy Hit is very strong.
it's not just creatures. I completely missed the part.
Yeah.
Oh god, but yeah, we will see. For sure, I hope it will be meta shakeup. But yeah, without talking about a little bit about bannings, I'm not really convinced here, Peter, with your statement beforehand where you said WotC just wants to keep all the cards in the pool and then make a decision to ban something out of Delver. Because with this opinion, you can't ever ban any cards because they're pumping out so many sets all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I said just because the paper metagame just differs from the online metagame, and the sources from the paper player stated that Minsk and Boo is a good card against it or maddening hex, so it may change up the meta. So if you ban out now a card, and the format would get fine with it, even it may not, and maybe the chances that the format is fine with those two cards adding to the format is like 5%, you kind of have to give it to them. Give it the benefit of the doubt and don't ban anything. It's a really unfortunate situation that we are in.
Yeah,
but
really.
The data points are not that reliable.
Mm-hmm. I think with Minsk and Boo, a card like this entering the format, what I could see in the short term is the best control deck has been Jeskai for a long time.
Yeah.
And maybe this will bring back some versions of Rak or
four color
at least.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it will be Rak because I really like the Rak lists that I've seen lately with, I think, Uro and Ledger Shredder.
Yeah.
These are really great.
You mean the Rak Temple lists?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are so cool.
They have also Maddening Hex in the main deck.
Yeah. Well, I've got so many damage.
I also like this deck a lot, but some people have tried it and have read about their experiences a little bit, and they said, well, compared to at least Murktide regions and straight UR, it is not that good actually. So I personally think it will be more centered around 4-color because white gives you a little bit better removal suit.
Yeah.
This is my At least my...
I can totally see this. But I think if you take this rock tempo this and make it a little bit bigger, it could be...
Yeah, I still think that you... Good. I still think that you need the really good removal just to handle the frets better from Blue-Red Delver in specifically. Because I think the rug lists have a good win percentage against the Blue-Red Delver lists, but mostly because the good players, I think, are playing the rug lists. And I think that the rug lists have the problem of like a little bit more of an exploitable mana base. And they are a little bit slower, which is usually better in the matchups. But the only tool that they have that the Blue-Red Delver players don't have is Uro. And if you can avoid the Uro and play a good game with your Murktide regions, where they have only, I think, two Pyro Blasts in the main deck as a removal, you're pretty good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Murktide is really, besides Pyroblast, there's not really an option how Rug can effectively deal with this card. And speaking of Uro, Delver has Pyroblast as well. And it's a very big tempo swing if they get to remove Uro, if you've escaped it probably and they just countered with a Pyroblast. Yeah. It's a pretty big setback, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fine and good in grinding matchups and when you have the opportunity to really cast it. Besides that, it can be a little bit clunky and Rug compared to straight UR, there's not really much to it. And I can see that because your mana base gets worse and something like this. And for
this would all change if there would be no Murktide.
Maybe in that case, this can change in the form.
Definitely.
Yeah, but these are all shadows. And we don't know how the ghosts will decide how the format will be ruled in the near future or further away future. So.
Yeah, that's true. And the other big card that's going to be released is Maddening Hex. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about this?
I think...
Expectations here for Maddening Hex.
I think Maddening Hex is a really strong card for any deck that has access to red because it is not only good against combo decks in specifically, but it's also a win con almost kind of an effect, or it has some kind of standstill effect attached because when I cast spells, I get a lot of damage against control decks. So if you want to tackle combo and control and have access to red, I think probably you will have some copies of
Maddening Hex. This would be a perfect card for my painter deck?
Probably.
It should I mean, I'm currently playing like Aetherstorm Canonist and Deafening Silences. But yeah, it could be. I have to toy with it.
Well,
it's a little bit slower because a 3 CMC to 1 CMC. But it depends.
It's not a replacement for the Deafening Silence. It's just an additional thing that it can board in versus Delver and Control, which can be played on turn 2.
Oh, you can play it on turn 2. Then it's totally fine. I mean, if you would have to wait for turn 3, I think it could be too slow for your deck because you aren't really exerting that much pressure on your opponent with the painter.
With life totals,
With life totals. Therefore, I think it on turn 3 it could be a little bit too slow, but on turn 2 I can totally see it.
Yeah. With 6 acceleration spells.
For example... the potential of this card is so high. Like, if you would compare it to an effect like Eidolon of the Grid River, is it similar? Pillar, exactly. A control deck can take a few hits of 2 times each to cast a few spells and maybe win through it, actually. But Maddening Hex, if there's the potential to get hit by 6 damage for each spell like it casts, I think on average it is... Well, of course, probably 3 damage then.
It's 3.5, yeah.
Yeah, and this makes it a lot more.
Yeah, two spells difficult. Are on average 7 damage.
Yeah,
compared to Eidolon's 4 damage, that's a whole bolt of a difference.
Yeah,
so huge. That's really huge.
That's also the reason why, for example, this Rug deck places card main deck. Like a Parastatic Pillar or something like that is not really a card you would see in the main deck. And
it affects you too.
No. You enchant it on your opponent.
Me.
And after the effect has been cast, you have to enchant another opponent. So in 1v1, it's the same opponent.
A random opponent, I think.
Or random, whatever.
It's designed for Commander, so that it switches around between your opponents. But then
in Legacy, it stays on your opponent. I mean, I really like the idea that it switches around, but that could certainly be too strong for Legacy.
No, it's just a hate piece that costs 3 mana.
Yeah,
and it's easily removable.
Yeah, we
nowadays
will see
with Prismatic Ending, any bounce spell. So it's really fine.
Yeah, where it takes 6 damage.
Potentially. I mean, it can happen, and I really hate that you kind of have to flop coins, how the damage is dealt. I would have been more fine if this just says you take 4, which would be really strong, but if I know I take 4, I can calculate my moves.
Yeah, it's easier, definitely.
But yeah, it happens. I mean, at the last FNM I played like a Jeska list with Kitten Combo, and one of my opponents played the Maddening Hex, and I rolled only 4 and above for each roll, and he had again game 2 and game 3, and I took 14 like with 3 rolls in the first game, in the second game, and like 15 or no it wasn't it was 13 or something like that with 3 rolls in the third game. So yeah, it happens. It's pretty
random
strong.
It's random.
And random
of course,
because if you are at like 14, you kind of say, yeah, I have to cantrip to find an answer for it. Then you take 6 and are down from 14 to 8. It's...
In another case, you're probably just rolling 1-1-1 and you take 3.
Yeah.
And it just does nothing and your opponent just steamrolls you.
I think this is kind of the beauty of the card, actually, because it forces you to when you make decisions about how I'm going to play around this card or how I'm going to dig myself out of this, you have to calculate with the fact that each roll can be a 6.
Yeah.
And if I go for, maybe in the worst case, if I'm dead already, I have to go like for a line that says, okay, this needs to be 1 every turn.
Yeah.
And then I might win. But on average, maybe this kind of forces the opponents to do kind of weird plays that plays around 6 damage all the time, but is not actually very good.
I mean, for example, in Vintage, there's like Mana Crypt, which is also like head or tails on each upkeep.
True, yeah.
And if you lose the flip 5 times in a row, you're at 5 if you haven't fetched. And if you win the flip 5 times in a row, you're at 20.
Yeah.
And it is actually a lot, especially in a format where like Tinker to Bowler Citadel is a common play, which means like... Yeah. Casting a lot less cards.
So you will try the Maddening Hex in your painter list?
I think I will add them to the sideboard or something
like that. This might also be a card from Mardu, maybe. Maybe it's slow, but this is kind of a combo hit.
That's the problem, because I don't have any kind of acceleration in these Mardu-style mid-range lists. So,
but you can play it main deck.
Yeah, but I think it's basically the same like I said to Peter, it's too slow for my opinion on turn 3.
I would probably play it instead of, in my opinion, maybe try it instead of Akaya, for example, a 3 mana slot, and then this is, I think, a better win con.
Yeah, I agree here.
This is like not really a hate piece, because you have Deafening Silence for this. Mm. This is more like an end game. Okay, now I'm sealing the deal with... This is also a win con, despite being for hate pieces kind of slow. Yeah, yeah. Maybe Stompy decks will play this more frequently because they can cast it.
A local player of us, basically played this card like 4 months ago.
Okay, and he steamrolled everyone. Yeah, I think so.
It was like a fun thing that I looked up this card and I think it's fancy. He's always the guy that like plays crazy shit, something like. His Lotus in his mono red stomped list with Bloodsun and stuff like that, and he played it because he said, "Yeah, it's a fun card. I want to toy with it. I mean, for Stomp, it's like a little bit of a problem because it costs like two red and a colorless.
Yeah, red is hard.
Red is a problem typically for this deck, especially since you can't accelerate it out on turn one. Or it's Simen Spirit Guide.
Simen Spirit Guide. Or Tomb Spirit Guide, Spirit Guide. Or Petal.
Yeah, or the Chromos or something like that. And another red card. And so it's like an awful lot of
resources. It's more often probably a turn four play, kind of.
Turn two.
Turn two, probably a turn two play, yeah.
Yeah,
turn one mountain, turn
two to three, yeah, on average.
Yeah. But yeah.
Even in a more red deck. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sam Dems wants to try it in Infect. Daddy.
The Minsk? Or the Maddening Games?
The Minsk.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm now switching back to Minsk now.
Yeah, because it basically pumps the cards when he...
Doesn't it just pump creatures with Trample and
there
Haze?
There is one card that gives it Trample.
Berserk. Mm. Okay, yeah.
And after Berserk, you can... Give it +3/+3.
And it is a granny card as well.
And it's a granny card.
It has the option as well.
But I'm not so sure. That's good because you give them the counters after Berserk. So you have to Berserk
it. I'm looking forward to what he can do with this.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm intrigued here. Yeah, definitely.
It will be interesting.
Very much, yeah.
We will see that he will then, in the Cyborg games, put out the Folk Listener Elves. For Blighted Agent and puts in other good cards and then plays Ruck.
Delva. Puts in
finally,
good cards.
A good Infect list I can look at.
And then he plays Delva, Dragon's Rage, Tenera.
Merkheim Regen.
And Urus.
That's strange.
So, yeah. But
I think we're 20 minutes in. I think we have made a great intro now. If you like our cast, follow us on Twitter, it's @response_legacy, and be a patron of our cast and help us provide this great podcast for you. Yeah.
And be one of our patrons like Gino Christian Neutz or Matt Duncan.
So consider donating to patreon.com/response_legacy.
And I think we will start with another big topic, which will happen on Sunday, which is the set.
What's the correct abbreviation here? Is it Summer's End Tournament or Season's End Tournament? I'm not sure here.
Season's End Tournament, because we only have one. We in the past had a split-up season where we have winter and summer season.
So we had wet and set.
Wet and set. And this time around, we changed the season to... a whole year season, and for that reason it's a season end tournament.
So that's basically
league.
For regular listeners, they know that we have in Austria the Austrian Legacy League.
And it's come to an end now. We have now we are in the middle of the summer break, and at the end of the summer break, just before the start of the next season, we have the season end tournament, which is kind of a grand finale of the season that happens before in the last year. And there we also crown our champion from the whole Austrian League over the whole year.
Yeah.
And when one has to or can claim another title of the season and tournament champion there, which is just a regular tournament at their local game store with some form of coverage again.
Yeah.
This time not really streaming, not yet at least.
Yeah, we aren't live.
We are working on it.
Unfortunately.
But it will be soon when we're heading into the next season.
But we will record the event and Peter and
Florian just play Helm on Twitter. Yeah. We will most likely make coverage for this event. You may have watched the last event, the Big Sunday Legacy. This time we try to have all... the top 8 matches in there, but we will see how it happens.
Awesome. So I think...
So we will put it onto our YouTube channel. You can find it on Austrian Legacy League.
Yeah.
I think... I myself will be there. Philip, you said you won't be there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm with my girlfriend at my parents-in-law. So,
okay, yeah, that's at least a good excuse.
It's an excuse.
It's an excuse again.
I would love to play it. I would love it even more to commentate it.
Yeah.
But
maybe
yeah,
next time.
Yeah, there are some things that you just need to do, and this is one of them.
One of them, yeah. So, but Pete, will attend.
I will attend. I will play. Mm-hmm. I will be on something, not Painter, maybe.
Really?
No, I will play.
I would have been surprised now.
I mean,
it's just your typical painter list.
It's currently my proficiency. I really, really like this deck.
Yeah.
And I think I'm getting better and better with it. I know now a little bit more about various matchups, something like I know now how to play more against like Stompy, even though the matchup is really, really bad. But since I learned that you may have to mulligan for two drops against this deck, because I have a few of those, I can deal with chalices and stuff like that. If I can get out an Oswald or an Goblin Engineer on turn one, it's really good, since you basically get in the portable hold, clear the chalice, then you have a game. So it's kind of getting used, and I think I have to try this deck for the Four Seasons tournament in like 2 weeks.
It's 3 weeks. 3 weeks. 2 weeks would be a little bit extreme. Am I wrong here?
It's after this weekend. It's 2 weekends.
Yeah, I gotta look this up. I need to.
When this episode's released, it's 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I need to pre-register.
I have pre-registered anyway.
This will be a nice kind of testing event also for this.
Yeah, especially.
We booked our hotel.
We booked our hotel and have a car reserved.
Yeah,
so
also
everything is fine.
Everything is fine. We just need the pre-registration for the event. I'm so looking forward to this again. Bologna is so great. What are you playing?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I have a new. I thought about Storm, but
You have a new
Cham. I almost also thought about this Ruck list with Minsky and Boo and Meddling Hex. Maybe I thought about how. Maybe I'm just going to run this, but I think now this is not really Meddling Hex.
I probably know what you're running.
Yeah. I looked up
and it's
Twitter.
Sexy as fuck.
It is very sexy. And I saw a list
you
that.
You are a Marcus Evil Lencher now, Amy.
Yeah. It is Doomblade. It was.
I mean, the name in itself is just.
Amazing, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean,
it's
Doomblade playable? Not really anymore.
The deck, yes. The card,
the
no.
Deck, yes, yeah.
It so, is, well, technically, yes, but no.
Yeah. It is from Markus Ewald, and I think Max Torschen also brewed a little bit with him. And basically, it is a hybrid between Doomsday and an Esper Stoneforge Mystic Stoneblade deck that has a minimum package of Doomsday. So a lot of cards that are good on their own before you cast Doomsday. Like Dark Ritual is, of course, a must to cast a fast Doomsday. Then you have a lot
Strix.
You have Strix, you have the Stormforge package, which is a minimum.
Swords and Endings.
Swords and Endings, this is the sideboard.
Yeah, but you have them in the 75.
You have them in the 75, yeah.
Do you play Mentor?
No Mentor. There's other versions of Esper Doomsday that have Mentor in the sideboard, but this one opts to have the Stormforge Mystic package as your win con, basically. Yeah. And the idea behind this deck is just to crush Delver, of course. Strix is really annoying. Stormforge Mystic is strong, and after sideboard, you just transform into an Esper control deck. Remove Doomsday completely.
Do you remove Doomsday completely?
We have a transitional plan. You have, I think, 12 cards that you sideboard against Delver. Or any deck that is fast aggro, let's say. And for all other matchups, you have kind of in-between boarding rules, let's say. And it is really good because you have two angles of attack, of course. You can go with the creature route, or you can go with a surprise Doomsday and then win with that.
Yeah.
But the downside is, of course, it is not as fast as, let's say, the standard Doomsday list that goes all in.
But you have the Cauldra. which just wins so many matchups on its own.
True, yeah. You can't just go turn to Stoneforge Mystic into Kaldra and then beat up your opponent. Definitely. And you have Force backup as well in the main deck, of course. You have kind of your build your own expressive iteration with Mishra's Bauble and Predict, where you can also mess up your opponent sometimes when you Bauble your opponent and Predict the card away. And Predict is a nice combo piece, of course. You get through your pile rather easily.
It serves two modes, actually.
Yeah, two modes, actually, yeah. And I really like this list. I have to say, I am not really good with the piles. I still need to learn this a little bit more.
Have you seen his tweet? Because he said there's basically one pile that you do 99% of the time.
Yeah, if there's no interaction, you have a pile where you just go predict, mill your Thassa's Oracle.
Then unearth it.
Then unearth it, yeah. And this takes 3 mana. And this is fine, but of course it is... it loses to Graveyard Hate, and against stuff like Narset it is a problem. Endurance, whatever. If you expect Wasteland and you don't have the 3 mana anymore, there's a lot of stuff that can interrupt this line, but it's like if you have no interaction at all, you go for it because it's the fastest way to win.
Imagine if Gitaxian Probe would be legal.
Would be very nice, yeah. But then it would be on Storm, I think.
I know you. Yeah. That's true.
So I think I will play this deck. This will, but even though I might mess up a lot of piles, and I certainly have at this point because I'm not an expert, but I want to try it and I want to learn it. So,
yeah. I gotta say I was also a little bit in between. I also saw this list, saw the name Doomblade, and I thought, fuck this, that's amazing, and I thought I will build this, and then I saw Killer Bees. Riddler deck, and I was fuck this is amazing. And I was okay, which one should I build and which one should I bring to FNM, and you brought Doomblade and I brought the Riddler.
The Riddler is also a really nice name for a deck.
It was such a great experience. I mean, I only went 2-2 mm-hmm. for my first time playing this deck, and it just blew my mind. Was so hard to play, and it's just so great.
But the real question is, how many Batman jokes did you make while playing the Riddler?
Zero.
A lot of flavor.
A lot of flavor missed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But I will certainly work on this. I need to look up the best Batman jokes.
You have to look up like riddles that you can give your opponent while comboing. Paint something like riddles that the Riddler said in the original Batman series. Yeah,
it's like that's great. You can, that's what they said, you can give your opponent something to do when it's like solitaire when you're playing with yourself, basically.
Don't play with yourself while in a Magic tournament, however.
And it almost feels like a riddle when you combo off yourself, right? You have to decide what cards. Am I going to draw and exile?
That's a hard part, actually.
And it's a riddle, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm really considering playing this in Bologna. I'm not sure if I play it in the side event or in the main event. Because there's a second deck that I want to play.
I think your goal is to go to the X3 speedrun to drop into commentary.
Yeah. So, at the main event. But there's still the side event, and I'm not sure in which... event shall I play the better deck?
Okay, yeah. I think in Italy and for seasons, there should be a lot of control decks, right? They love their
control decks. Yeah, they love their control decks.
Especially with Minsk and Boo and finally, winning the four round now.
And the Wooded team is headed down in Bologna and having a lot of influence on the people around there. So, yeah.
So, do you have a good control matchup with the Riddler? I think removal is a problem, right?
I played this
removal is
one
problem.
Yeah, I played this like one time. Yeah, I can't say.
I think you can be really fast. It depends.
And sometimes you just have Urza's Saga and just make 17 tokens and just
which get prismatic ending.
Yeah, but removal is of course a problem for the deck. But other than that, it's a very very fine and fun deck to explore. Yeah.
But it will definitely be on the hard side for a tournament deck, especially since you have to have a lot of actions, a lot of triggers that you have to announce. Yeah. So it will be really, really hard.
And the storm count and also, storm count and the mana. To
floating mana because you have to write it down and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure if I will do this.
Yeah.
Maybe in the side event.
Yeah. Will be also interesting for me.
What is the other deck you... I think you haven't talked about it.
It's either Grixis or Blue-Red Phoenix.
I think you should play Grixis.
I'm not actually convinced. Because what I always hated about the Grixis Phoenix list is...
That they perform better than yours?
No. I mean, they did. But what I really disliked about them is... that the second bird life is always so bad, or the third one.
True, yeah.
And I just hate drawing dead cards.
Do you know what would have made them better? Including Painter, so that you can pitch them to Force of Will.
Yeah, it's not even a pitch target, so in that sense.
Yeah, that's when you play Painter. That's what I'm really thinking about Grixis, because, yeah... I love the Bird Alive playstyle, but in the mid-range lists that are not so all in on the combo like I played, the second Bird Alive is just always bad. But this particular Grixis Phoenix list play, I think, an Ox of Agonas also.
Yeah.
So the second Bird Alive at least finds the fourth Phoenix and the Ox.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad,
and put in one dead one drop or something like that.
Do you have Dragonrage Chandler or any Delirium cards?
You have Dragonrage Chandler, Leisure Shredder, and Phoenix and the Ox.
I mean, so you only have Dragonrage Chandler as Delirium cards in the Grixis list.
Yeah.
Okay. In that case, sometimes Buried Alive can help to get Delirium, but other than that.
That's my biggest gripe here with the
Grixis list. It's like a potential thing that it can do when you draw multiples.
And last week in our FNM, I played the blue-red list. Funny side note here.
You played the 64 list.
I was coming to this. I had the list from the from Volrad XP's legacy article from... not the one that... got published today, but the one from last week, and there was this blue red Phoenix list in it, and I just thought, hey, this looks neat, I'm going to play this in our FNM. And just I don't know, I just put 4 days in it because I thought, hey, this is blue red, the Dragon Channel, Ledger Shredder, and Arclight Phoenix and Force of Will, this is a tempo deck, I play 4 days because that's normal. And I built the rest as written, and this deck plays just 14 lands. And what's the funny thing about this is, I didn't cut anything for the deck. I just thought they were in the list, in the deck. So I played 64 cards with 14 lands and went 3-1.
But you had some mana problems, I reckon.
I had so many mana problems. Yeah. I had, I think, 7 or 8 mulligans because of no lands.
Of course. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, I lost against Manuel on Blue Red Delver. Own 2 games just because I got mana screwed. And yeah, that was definitely my fault. So don't put your daisies in this deck.
And I still think that 14 lands is too little.
It's extremely greedy.
And I think this is one reason why Days in the deck is a little bit iffy, because you generally have only 1 or 2 lands in play. And if there is Wasteland involved and you just happen to draw one land, you just can't Days it, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
It's difficult.
But actually, if Wasteland is a spell on its own, I mean, this deck doesn't play Wasteland, then you can argue that Blue-Red Delver stock iterations only play 15 lands.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but 15 is better than 14.
Yeah, and that's why I'm considering playing.
I wouldn't include land. 3 lands. I would at least include the 15th land.
The 15th land. That's what I'd That's what I'm going to try. So cutting the faces to 64, going back to 60 because a 60 card deck is simply better. And then cutting probably the faithless looting. Cutting the four faithless looting, yeah. To feels play better. For the 15th land. So okay. I can have one island, mountain, and steam vents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which seems, in my opinion, good because I really liked having the mountain in it to be a little bit better against.
And the question is if you want to include something like Mystic Sanctuary or something like that.
Could be, I think, with that few lands, I mean, Delver also plays it.
I mean, it would be the same calculation for Delver.
Yeah, true.
So it's...
Could be. But we have iteration, so it kind of makes sense, right?
It's basically the same deck, just without Mercury Regent.
And with Arclight Phoenix.
Which are really great against Delver, actually.
Well, it's grindy, yeah.
You can always block. You've got your free Phoenix out, you attack, you block... And then you play three spells and to get them again and do the same again.
Yeah, really like it. So yeah, I think. Do we have any other topics? I mean, season 8 will start
soon. We have a new
at the week.
We have a new plans for the seasons, and we will probably be streaming more regularly than
because when we have a new season. Building now a streaming room in our local game store.
Yes. Yeah. It's not finished, but it's in the making.
I think we will talk about this in the next episode when it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the...
But it's a little bit of a teaser.
It's a teaser, actually. Yeah. And yeah.
What else do we have? I mean, there's a little bit of ongoing spoiler season with Dominaria.
Yeah.
There has not been really much legacy relevant stuff.
Not really a big player. Some niche stuff, but yeah.
The spoilers aren't finished as far as I know.
They're not.
They got a huge leak. So I think we've got 2/3 of the whole set or something like that.
Yeah.
And so. I'm pretty sure the only card that really stands out would be Karn's Silex.
Silex, yeah.
I mean, where would you play it?
Probably in Stompy.
It's only a Stompy card, yeah.
But
what does it in Stompy? Because it basically clears as the removal side. Board.
I think it depends.
You can't activate this. You can't activate it.
That's true. But I think it depends on the meta. That this card is a meta call. So if Blood Moon is bad,
I mean, it's basically Blood Sun.
That's what I wanted to say. It is similar effect like Blood Sun, but in a little bit different and sometimes worse.
It's a lot worse since Urza Saga is in the format. I think.
But the saga doesn't get shut down by this, whereas Blood Sun does actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Blood Sun removes and just all of
this. Yeah, that's what I know. But and it only doesn't remove him.
Negates the force of wills that come after this card, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a force, you force it. If you don't have the force,
you can't force it.
You can't force the card. So if you draw something a force afterward, it makes this force worse. But that basically implies that you didn't have a force before.
Yeah.
So I don't think it changes much. Especially since if you have to use the front side, it doesn't help with something like in modern in Tron. I don't know how this card is called. There is the
O-Stone?
O-Stone.
Yeah.
Basically, you can give like counters on stuff that you have that will then not be killed by the board wipe. And this one just basically is a Pernicious Deed that wipes your board too.
Yeah, that's true.
It is a close comparison to Pernicious Deed actually. I think a worse Pernicious Deed...
It comes in tapped.
It comes into play tapped, but I'm going to say disregarding the mana requirements.
Maybe it could use the place of Yokel Hops in the Yokel Hops deck.
What does this card do?
It basically resets the board to zero.
Okay.
But it doesn't clear the lands, am I right?
It clears the lands also. It clears creatures, artifacts, enchantments, and lands.
So is it a symmetrical effect?
Symmetrical
effect.
Like
balance.
Yeah.
But completely.
4/6 mana. I mean.
Okay, 6 mana?
Yeah, 6 mana.
I haven't read this card.
Yokel Hops. Yeah.
Is this a card that has seen play?
Yeah, I mean, Phil Gallagher has made some 5-0s with it.
Okay, how do you cheat this in play? Because 6 mana is...
You play it in Stumpy.
You play it in Stompy.
In Stompy.
Yeah, it's a Stompy card.
It's a Stompy card. And it just clears the whole board. And you, I ran into it on Modo, I think, last week, where my opponent played the Rekindling Phoenix from Ixalan.
Mm-hmm.
That says if it dies, you get a 0/1 that you sacrifice on the upkeep and you get your Phoenix back. And the Phoenix has haste and it's 4/3. So what you basically do is you go turn 3 yep. Phoenix, turn 4 Yokelhops, reset the board, have a 4/3, and your opponent has nothing.
Yeah, but Count Salix doesn't clear the lands.
Yeah, and Salix doesn't clear the lands, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
just a pernicious deed.
It's just a pernicious deed. Yeah. It comes into play tapped. I mean, it negates the forces.
Mm-hmm.
It negates something that you fetches. But yeah, I don't think in
and
Legacy.
And it negates Grizzlebrand.
And it negates Grizzlebrand. But yeah, it's not really relevant because what does Stompy do when you have a 7/7 lifelinker in play?
Yeah, that's true.
So basically, yeah. I mean, it doesn't even stop like reanimate because it's like you lose the life. So it's not additional life lost by casting.
Is there something in this set that's also notable besides the Silex?
I don't think it is currently.
I gotta say, I find the new Yaya, how do you pronounce it? The Fear Negotiator. Interesting. It could take the slot of Chandra Touch of Defiance in the Stompy lists.
Okay.
Because it has some great modes and is also the same mana cost.
Yeah, for example, it has like it's the same mana cost. It's +1, creates a 1/1 red monk creature token with prowess. So basically, a little Swift Spear. It starts with 4. It's -1 is exile the top card. Top 2 cards, you may play one of those for the turn. For -2, you choose a creature an opponent controls. Whenever you attack this turn, it deals damage equal to the number of attacking creatures to the creature. So it's basically like semi-removal, which is only playable in Stomp Blitz that play like 8 goblins or something like that, which versions don't usually play Chandra.
But you have your own token engine here.
Yeah, you have a token engine too. So yeah, maybe it gets something. And it's -8 is basically irrelevant since it needs 4 turns. But you get an emblem with whenever you cast a red instant or sorcery, you copy it twice.
I think that the +1 of Chandra is make 2 red, and also it is also +1 to reveal the first card, right?
It's okay. 2+1.
I think these two effects are one that I like for Stompy a little bit more, because sometimes you need the extra 2 mana.
Yeah.
And also like that you get to plus your Planeswalker and draw a card, which is not the case for this one.
Yeah.
And the Chandra also has this -3 to deal 4 damage, I think. This is
The -3 is a lot better than
I think
one.
Also better in that sense. I personally think Chandra is better, but I am actually not sure if Stompy plays Chandra in the first place
anymore. I'm not sure.
The creature it's, heavy lists don't play it. Yeah. There are a few planeswalker lists.
It's an option.
Yeah.
And but maybe this card will CP.
The only card that Peter and I were talking about today would be Sarah's Paragon.
Yeah, we talked about it, and I think it would be a card that I like against like control decks specifically. It's a Loros for 4, which can also play lands, which is kind of something that I would be interested. But maybe it's like 1 mana too expensive to play. Yeah. But I think I would like it. But when we talked about like Maddening Hex, which is a card that I would bring in to those matchups, I think it's better to play those, because like way more versatile in matchups to play against, and it costs only 1 less.
And Hex doesn't get Meltdown or hit by Swords. I
mean, this one doesn't get Meltdown either.
Yeah, but it gets hit by Swords.
Yeah, true, true. But this one also gets hit by prismatic ending.
But it deals damage.
But it deals damage, yeah.
I think nothing too exciting for this set, but maybe in the next set. We'll see. The remaining spoilers are coming out in the next few days, I think.
Yeah.
But I think this wraps it up quite nicely.
Pretty much. So for our listeners, keep an eye out for Phil and myself. We will be in Bologna playing. Daniel is unfortunately not there. I will be playing the Vintage main event on Saturday and the Sunday Legacy main event. And Phil will be playing the Saturday side event in Legacy and the speedrun main event to commentary on Sunday for
it's,
Legacy.
It's my personal goal to go 2-3 commentary drop. So you can find me certainly on twitch.tv/ no idea actually the Four Seasons channel on Sunday.
And yeah, where can we find you, Phil, on social media so we conclude the show?
I think you never asked me that in our cast. So you can find me on Twitter. It's at PhinnickMTG, PHINEKMTG. And Daniel, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me also on Twitter. It is at Flying Delver. Where can I find you, Peter?
You can find me on Twitter. It's at Unicorn Lord, but the O in the Lord is a zero.
And also always go to our link tree. It's in the show notes down below. There you can find the link to our merch shop where you can get nice hoodies or caps or t-shirts to show your support for the cast.
And we will sign them if you have them at Bologna.
Yeah, that's true. We will certainly sign them.
So, advertisement.
I mean, would be great actually. And it would be really cool if we see some nice people in Bologna that our listeners from the show.
Yeah.
Like the last time. It was like so cool. Like the last time. It
was really cool, yeah. Any conclusion?
Just crush
get
them.
Get your Minsk and booze.
Meet people at the Four Seasons. Have fun.
I like meat, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I like meat. So, yeah.
That's a conclusion for today.
In response to the end.
This was In Response, a Legacy podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on patreon.com/response_legacy.